We have a very powerful episode today talking about how bank-issued credit card debt is dangerous. Today, our expert is Tommy Kilpatrick, who's a writer and an analyst and a business leader. He's going to give us the heads up on what banks are doing with credit cards when they issue them to you.
And it dawned on me that the bank-issued credit card was never a debt. I took the initiative and filed 3 separate federal lawsuits.
Thank you for inviting us into your life today. Together, we will confront a worldwide threat and offer actionable steps to preserve you and your loved ones' peace.
All of a sudden, all the lights are going to go out. Your cell phone's going to be dead.
Every day, things are shaping up to the end of time as we know them.
They're going to be at the top of the pile while the rest of us are completely decimated.
There is an increased threat, unlimited access to Facebook, Instagram.
Subscribe and you will be first on the list to receive the next episode, How to Maintain Peace While Facing a Worldwide Threat. Hi, this is John White with a Worldwide Threat. Today we have a powerful episode where we're talking about bank-issued credit card debt and how it's dangerous with a gentleman named Tommy Kilpatrick who knows all about this. So welcome to the show, Tommy. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much.
It's good to have you. I know you're on the other side of the world, and that's good and bad, I guess. But what I'd like to do, the first thing I'd like to ask you is tell us a little bit about your story and how you got interested in credit card debt and that whole thing that you kind of talked to me about the other day.
Oh, sure. I'm an author, and I wrote a book about health and healing. And it was so successful that an infomercial company contacted me, and we signed a contractual agreement. Then I was on the radio for about 6 months doing interviews and showing that the book would sell in an infomercial. And I had to use my credit cards, my 3 credit cards, to pay for my living expenses because I was promised $100,000 a month once the infomercial hit. So things were going great. And then one of the talents, he's another author, he had lied about his claims of weight loss. The FTC came down on him and the company, and the new talent all got fired, basically. So I was stuck with $85,000 of credit card debt.
Wow.
So it was a shock. And then what do I do? I was depressed. You know, how am I going to deal with this? And then one morning I woke up and my dad was a CPA. I had been in college to be a CPA. And it dawned on me that the bank issued credit card was never a debt. And so instead of doing the weak little, I'll send a letter to the bank and hopefully they won't sue me, I took the initiative and filed 3 separate federal lawsuits in Los Angeles court. And you might ask, did I win? Well, what do you call winning? Is that the jury judgment and the judge slams a gavel down and I win? No, he threw the cases out. Okay, then you lost.
That's a win.
Well, my court cases out, but my credit report all of a sudden showed no debt, $85,000 gone, no derogatory items, and I never received a 1099-C. That's when a bank, if you borrow money and you don't pay it back, they will notify the IRS that you got a gain of, let's say, $100,000 or $1 million, and now you got to pay income tax on it, and they take a tax deduction. So in my case, they didn't take a tax deduction because they never issued a 1099-C. So, yes, I have had the experience firsthand of how to beat the banks on this the bank-issued alleged credit card debt. So that was my little story.
That's very cool. So, you know, I think I told you when I was on the phone, in my younger life, I owned the National Collection Agency. And I probably collected from people that didn't pay credit card debts at one time and never knew anything about this. But the thing you disclosed the other day, which was cool, is that, and I was just talking to friends about this, when you get a credit card, you never sign anything. You just fill out an application. and they tell you how much your rate is and how much credit you're going to get, and you go use the card to get the card, but you never sign a loan document or anything, which I thought was brilliant information coming from you, because nobody watching this podcast is going to know this. This is amazing information. That's why I call it a powerful information. So, but my next question is please give us a little couple key things that you've seen banks do, how they threaten people's credit with this idea. What are they doing?
Well, what happened to me with the federal lawsuit I filed. The judge said to me, well, Mr. Kilpatrick, did you get a credit card? Well, no. You didn't get a credit card? It made me sound like I was an idiot. And I said, well, let me start from the beginning. I'll let you start at the beginning, but I need to answer this question. You need to answer it. I would say, no, I didn't get a credit card. Well, you're an idiot. And he threw the case out. You know, so it went a little longer than that. It was pretty intimidating to have him do that. But I stood my ground. But on the other side, the banks knew what I knew, and they would never have been able to win. So they start off with a lie, and everyone believes it. And then they take you into court and they get judgments against you. And the courts are all accepting this, that all the attorneys know this. You as a debt collector or owning a debt collecting company, you all knew that this was the facts. But no one had ever gone to an accounting class. And the first thing they said is what accountants do is count. And you cannot open a bank account without counting. And I went, okay. Oh, because that's what the word count means. Means one or single. Count means you need to count. So the first time that you ever made a payment you thought was a payment on this bank-issued alleged credit card, you were actually making a deposit. And again, most people don't know that, because if you go to accounting class, your very first one in the section of banking says that banks are all about loans. You make a deposit, you're actually loaning the bank money, and they pay you interest on it. Then if you want money, you go and you apply for a loan. They maybe accept. What if they rejected you? If they rejected you, would you still get the loan?
No.
No. But if they accept you, then what do? You got loan documents to fill out. You have to prove your income to be able to pay this back. You have to have collateral, something that you're going to give up if you don't pay. You have a credit report. Your credit score determines your rate. And then the last thing is you have to sign a promissory note. And that's a promise to pay. And that's based on the Federal Reserve manual that we read in our first class. It's called Modern Money Mechanics. It's easily available. The first time you type that up, you'll see it's a Wikipedia. And you click on that, you download the manual, you read the same book I read on page 6. It says what banks do is you sign a promissory note first, and then they write numbers into your free checking account. I kind of simplified it, but that's the way the legalese and the attorneys had tried to confuse you. But it's just very simple. You have to sign a promissory note first, then they write numbers into a bank account. They don't create any money at all. They don't borrow any money because they can't. So that's how they come after you, is they've got the whole system rigged against you. So no matter what you try to do, if you go the normal way and make some wild, crazy claims, and I've seen lots of different ways of trying to do it, but bottom line is they'll sue you. They'll take you to court. They'll win because you don't show up. And if you do show up, what's your argument? It's completely ludicrous to argue that you don't owe the money, because you say it's a debt.
So the guys that send out an email and say, hey, you can get this credit card from whatever bank or whatever company, and you say, okay, I'd like to apply for that, and you fill out the boxes, give me your name, give me your Social Security and so forth, and they come back instantly and say, guess what, you're approved for $10,000 credit with XYZ Bank. Now, is that considered a legal debt? At that point?
Well, there's kind of two things. You say the word debt, I would say it's more like a loan. And so I will send you a link and you can put it in your show notes. And you just do a simple Google search and you look for the legal sites that will tell you that banks cannot legally loan you money. So what they do basically is they're trying to get you as a customer. And years ago, they used to give you a toaster.
Right.
But I had my own personal experience as a bank said, hey, we're looking for more customers. Come in and give a deposit $25. And in 90 days, we'll match it. So right. I said, great. I went in, deposit $25, waited 90 days. I saw $50 in my account. The next day, I closed my account. And did I rip the bank off?
No, because they promised to give you $25 for opening an account.
Right. I followed what their offer was. And do I owe them back the $25?
No.
No, because it wasn't a loan. It was just an offer to get me to come in. That's the same thing they're doing to you when they say we have 10,000, 100,000. I met one guy who had $750,000 of credit card debt. And so I said, how'd you do that? He said, well, I got 30 cards at $25,000 each. I went, oh, my God. So I didn't have this particular program. I was working on another guy's system where you send a check in for like a dollar and say, hey, if you deposit this, this is considered payment in full. The courts don't accept that. They just laugh it off. So this guy never went with me at all. But now with my program that I have, you know, figured out with the injunction, this is really effective. So what the bank does is they try to get you in as a customer. And once you say yes to their offer, they send you, they give you a gift card. It's just like the bank had given me $25 to get me as a customer. So they are sending you out $10,000 credit card. Okay. But it's not a credit card. It's a gift card. You didn't sign anything. There's no contractual obligation. Oh, well, if you use the card, then you got to follow terms and conditions. The Supreme Court has ruled over and over the history of our country that any fraud undoes all contracts. And I'll send that link to you, too. So we have the Supreme Court on our side that you cannot deal with a criminal. The courts are not set up for a criminal to take you to court to win. And that's basically what the banks are doing. So when you get your gift card, you use it, right?
Yeah.
So you went out and you bought, let's say, a toilet at Home Depot. It's a golden throne. So you have a receipt when you walk out because they will have somebody standing there maybe by the door and verify you have a paid receipt. Yes, your toilet is paid for. Now, are you going to get an invoice from Home Depot in 30 days to pay for that toilet?
No.
No, because you have a signed paid receipt. Now, when you have a normal checking account, when you get a statement every month, is that a bill?
No.
No, it's your checking account statement, and it's your transactions, and you verify they're correct. If there's a problem, you can notify the bank, hey, there's something going on wrong here. But you received a statement from your free checking account for your bank-issued alleged credit card. It takes a lot of words to explain it, but you have to be clarifying exactly what I'm saying. It's bank issued. Mm-hmm. So what happened is that you sent in a $500 check, right?
Okay.
Yeah, because you thought it was a bill. That is the first time the bank could count your money. And when the bank counts your money, they put it into your checking or savings account. This happened to be a checking account that you don't get any checks. The only way you can access your money is through your debit card disguised as a credit card. So even though it says credit card on it, the very first time you received it, it was a gift. It's a gift card. Once you made a payment to the bank that you thought was a payment, it was actually a deposit. You're loaning the bank $500. Now you have your account, and the next purchases are all done with your own money. So there is no loan.
So, all right. So let's say somebody, a bank issues you that issues the gift card for 10 grand or whatever, and you go use it, whatever, go buy your golden toilet. And They send you the statement, which they call a bill, and you just don't pay it.
So, yes.
If you just don't pay it and you don't send them any money to go in that account, now they're sitting on 10 grand of digital money they sent somewhere, right? So then they say, okay, John White, you're in default of this $10,000 credit card. Therefore, I'm going to demand payment through collection or lawsuits or whatever, right? And so when they do that, so the next step is they send out a nastygram or send out a letter or whatever they do. And if I don't pay, then they give it to an attorney. The attorney files suit in XYZ company or country or county for 10 grand against me for not paying my credit card that they're calling it. And I show up and I say, look, I don't know that. It was never a credit card. Well, the judge is going to go, you're nuts. You just took $10,000 of their money and bought your golden toilet. So in your studies, obviously you got a free book or something out here on this, right? That you give out
absolutely.
On this thing? Yeah, so the average human goes nuts. He goes, okay, I think I owe them $10,000, but based on what you're saying, you really don't owe them $10,000. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. If you say you have a debt and you walk into that court and you say you have a credit card debt, language is all about law. Law is all about language. So if you say you have a debt, you've got a debt mm-hmm. and you're screwed. There's nothing you can do.
The judge
but we've
will say
seen
you owe it.
Yeah, we've seen on TV the bank robber going into the bank. He drops his wallet. They show you on TV his driver's license. You know it's his name. And the news still says he's an alleged bank robber. Well, that's the whole idea. If you start to say it's alleged, well, now they got to prove it. So then that's a difference between a bank-issued alleged credit card and a real credit card. So let me just tell you quickly about a real credit card. You go into, let's say, a tire store, and they sell you tires. And you say to them, you know, I'd really like the tires. My car really needs it. I'm about to die because of bald tires, but I don't have the money with that and for you to install it on my car. And they say, no problem, sir. Do an application for an in-store credit card. Great. And instantly you're approved. Fantastic. So you've got tires on your car. And in 30, 40 days, you got a bonus check or you got your paycheck and you paid off the loan. You paid off the tire store bill. And it was a invoice. So if you ask for an invoice from a tire store, they can provide that for you. They show the court, look, sir, he came into our store. He applied for a credit card. We gave it to him. Here's the tires. We put it on his car. He drove away, and he didn't pay us anything. He owes us the money. And the bank says, plus court costs and attorney fees. And bang, you lose because that's a true credit card. However, if you don't ask for this up front with the bank suing you, that's where they win every single time. So I've actually figured out a more proactive way. So people that have, let's say, 10, 20, 30 above, you know, up to $100 million of credit card debt, the best way to go is to file a lawsuit. And for right there, I scared everybody. So for most other people with a lower amount, when you send my letter to the bank, it lays out exactly what is going to happen. So if they sue you, you are able to file a counter complaint, is what they call it. In that counter complaint, you're going to be asking for an injunction. You're going to be asking the court to demand that this person that has come to court and thinks that you owe money to at least provide the evidence. You're allowed to ask for the evidence. So you're asking for an invoice, and you're asking for an invoice. And you're also asking for a promissory note because they're going to argue, the judge, they spent this money at this store and they owe us for that purchase. And the other side, we gave this person a loan. Oh, where's the loan document? So in an injunction, if they're not able to provide that within a certain time limit of the court, you know, they're about 30 days, they are now in contempt of court. the whole process stops because they can't provide the proof of the death. And so they know this. So then what they do is like what they did with me. They just wipe it off your credit report, don't issue a 1099, and leave you alone. But on the other side, you've got $500,000 of credit card debt. Well, if you say debt, you owe it. But if it's bank-issued alleged credit card and you follow my process, because you're going to have a company like with a CPA as your CFO, because when I was growing up, I had the IRS in my DNA. My dad was being a CPA. So you can fight this with the filing a lawsuit against the bank like I did. But this time you include all the discovery. So you've already got a date set for their deposition. Normally it's about 10 days after they respond, you're allowed to do a deposition. So you've already got the paperwork dropped on the bank's attorney's desk. And they're looking at, oh my God, this discovery is going to take us this number of hours. We're already into a 20, 30,000 to defend ourselves. And I see that he's going to file an injunction. You can't file the injunction until they answer. So if they answer the complaint, you've already sending in the next day the injunction with the court. Mm-hmm. And they've already seen what you're going to type up and send to the court. So for the most likely, these banks are going to back off even on $500,000 of alleged credit card debt.
Wow, that's amazing stuff. So basically, if you file suit against them, they don't respond within 30 days, then you have a default against them. Right?
Absolutely. Yep. You don't win automatically. The judge can look at it and stuff, but you don't want that. You want your credit report clean. You don't want a 1099-C. That's the only two things you want, for them to go away and leave you alone.
Wow, that's amazing. So, all right, so I'm going to – this is a lot of stuff for somebody, the average human, to unpack that's sitting out there on $20,000 in debt. And there's all these companies out there that do what they call credit repair. And so this is a whole new wrinkle in the world of credit cards. So the final thing I'd like to ask you about this, besides you're going to – well, I think I'll tell you this. I think I told this on the phone. The reason I do these podcasts, these Worldwide Threat podcasts, is for two reasons. One is to show people about a threat that's going on and try to give them some peace from an expert about to get peace about that threat. And so, like, I think you know this, that this country alone, the United States, is over $1 trillion in what they call credit card debt, which is a lot of credit card debt. So that represents a lot of people that are stressed up about their cards. But the thing that we try to do is have some peace for the people who are watching this through our action guide. So in the action guide, when we get done, we're going to create an action guide about this that anybody can download for free. And at that point, I'll point them back to you. I'll get your links and stuff and put that in this action guide. And they can download this for free, learn about this, and go back to whatever website you want or however you want to, if you do webinars or whatever, to talk about this so some people can get some expert advice about this. I'm not trying to make it so banks don't get paid, but at the same time, maybe it'll help people from losing their mind over stuff. So with that being said, in the last couple of minutes, tell me what you would say to my audience about how to have peace about all this. What
First
could you
of
say
all,
to give them peace?
They'll be right. First of all, what they're going to find is a landing page. If they go to the landing page, I have a free book for them about this whole generalized idea of solutions. It's also going to warn them about those debt consolidation companies. There'll be a link there with Dave Ramsey telling you that these people don't pay your credit card debt. Because remember, he's saying debt, you owe it. You say the word debt, you owe it too. So there are these companies that will not pay. You pay them, and you're actually in pre-bankruptcy. So when you sign up for those programs, they put it on your credit report that you are warning all the other banks, don't give this person any more credit cards because they're going to go into bankruptcy. And that's usually what they do. They never come out of these programs very well. So you're going to be spending money to a company just basically stealing from you. So then what you do is you can sign up for a free 15-minute consultation with yours truly. I'd be happy to talk to you. And it's all free. I'm not there to pitch you and sell you something. and then we can talk about your particular situation. And if you do that, I will give you my $69 book on Forgive and Forget, How to Nuke Your Credit Card Debt. So I'm going to give you a free book and a free consultation, and we can talk. Because what I'm looking for is a company with, let's say, $500,000 of credit card debt. They've got a CPA that can be the expert witness. They have an attorney who's their vice president. Let me talk to them. And the next day, they could be filing a state lawsuit. And in less than 45 days, they're going to have all that alleged bank-issued credit card gone. And that's where I could be compensated or something like that for my expertise. But for all the other people, it's just simply a letter. And I can explain exactly what it is. And in my book, it shows you what to do. And all it is forgive and forget. Because the little ones, the banks are not going to come after you.
It is a shell game in some respect with them, it looks like. So, you know, that's really good information. I appreciate that. I hope that YouTube and everybody doesn't ban me for this particular podcast. But we are looking at those threats. I appreciate your time today. I know you're a very busy man and you're up early for us, and I appreciate it. And so in about a week or two, you will see this podcast. My producer will shoot it and edit it, and you'll get to see it. And then we'll produce that action guide and make sure you email me all the links and so forth so I can put them in the action guide so everybody see it. And I hope you have a blessed day, brother.
Thank you so much.
Please help us to help you be WWT informed.
China is going to be more of our enduring threat using coercion.
Who are the people that we can trust around us? The Bible tells us that in the end times, they're going to be able to follow anything that we do.
There's equipment on our grid that adversarial nations can flip off the switch.
It's already happening, so there's proof.
Are the American people going to rise up?
Please like, subscribe, and click on the notification tab, and we will send you advance notices about upcoming episodes and the threats to be discussed. We will provide you each week with an action guide that details everything that may help you and your family have peace over these threats.